Hey, welcome back. My name is Nkenna, and I am responsible for everything that goes on here, being the A Nurse Named Ken podcast. This is season 3, episode 4, 5 additional questions you should be asking as a travel nurse. In today's episode, we'll be discussing just that, 5 more questions you should be asking. And I'd like to add just a little aside here. I'm noticing as I continue to travel nurse, they're not really interviewing people anymore. You either get an auto offer, they decline. Those are really the only 2 options. I will say with my next travel contract, contract number 5, I did have 2 interviews. And there were some other interviews that I was offered, but I decided not to take them. But for the most part, for the overwhelming majority, they're not interviewing people anymore. They just, again, offer you, give you 24 hours to respond, and keep it pushing. So diving right into the questions. Question number 1, what scrub color will I be wearing? I have mixed thoughts on this, but for the most part, I think that nurses should have a standard uniform across the United States. We should wear navy or black. I don't want to say white, because whether you know it or not, every shift there's like a 95% chance you're going to get covered in bodily fluids. And this is speaking as an ICU nurse. So it would be very disgusting to wear white scrubs and just have that highlighted. Ignorance is bliss in this case. That's why I would prefer to wear something dark like black or navy. With all that being said, it is important to ask what scrub color, because there is no standard uniform. When I was working in Georgia, we wore navy. When I was in Colorado, we wore navy. When I got to my first travel contract in the Bay, we could wear any color. So it was really nice because I got to wear all the latest drops of the FIG scrubs. Second travel contract, we had to wear this pewter color. It was the same color as my nursing school scrubs. And I would joke all the time, I need to bust out my nursing school scrubs. But I was able to get away with wearing charcoal from FIGS. And a lot of other people did that as well. On this current travel contract, a lot of the nurses wear black. A lot of the nurses wear navy or white, and they wear some combination of the two, or they just wear solid sets. Again, I would never wear all white scrubs. It's just an accident waiting to happen. And then on my next travel contract, so contract number 5, I was told that we wear CL blue, which pain, because when I was a nursing assistant and a patient care technician in Georgia, we wore CL blue. At every hospital, they let you wear CL blue, with the exception of working at a children's hospital. So every scrub that I had, as soon as I graduated past NCLEX, I donated them to Goodwill, and I had tons of CL blue scrubs. So I'm gonna have to buy all new scrubs for this next assignment, and I'm hoping that I'm here for a while and going to extend, so I'm not just gonna buy the standard 3 pairs. I'm probably gonna buy quite a few, but it's okay. It's an investment. It's worth it. I will make the money back. Question number 2, what are the staffing ratios on this unit? Working in California definitely spoiled me. I realized that not everywhere has it. I mean, honestly, nowhere has it as good as California. And there is a reason why they are able to retain nurses for so long. I've also noticed this late in the pandemic, a lot of places are not sending out job descriptions. They're not saying what are the staffing ratios on the unit. So this current contract, they said it was an ICU. I got there and they were saying, well, sometimes we hold overflow for step down or for med surg units. So, you know, things like that. It's a 24-bed ICU, but sometimes the whole hospital's full. So they divert the ICU admissions and then they just turn the whole ICU into a med surg floor. And then you're taking anywhere from 4 to 5 to 6 patients. And this is crazy because if you're an ICU nurse, you're used to taking care of 1 to 2 to 3 patients, but 6 patients, that's wild. That is crazy. So always ask, because if you have an interview with a manager and they tell you, yeah, we don't really have ratios, we will pair a CRT or pair an ECMO, that's something that you're like, that's not safe. I want to protect my license. Or if they say, we absolutely don't give you over 2 patients, great, awesome. Try and get that written somewhere into your contract so you can hold them responsible when they do say, hey, we're going to triple you. But always know what you're going to get yourself into. Some people are comfortable being tripled all the time. Some people, they've only worked in places where they have ratios, they have unions, and they don't let that fly. Question number 3, what is the parking situation at this hospital? It wasn't until I got to California that I realized there are places that actually charge employees for parking. when I was in Georgia, we had a parking deck for all employees, and you just had to walk over to the hospital. There was a walkway. It was not connected, but it's right there. When you got out of the parking deck, the hospital was right in front. When I was in Colorado, same kind of situation. They also had a parking lot across the street. You just had to walk through a crosswalk and you were at the hospital. First Bay Area contract, they had designated lots where visitors could park, employees could park, but night shift, you could park anywhere. On travel assignment number 3, I had to pay $8 a day. And I said, wow, this is crazy expensive. I mean, you work 3 days a week. I was working a 48-hour contract. So I'm like, okay, 8 times 4, 32 in a week. Multiply that by 13. And it adds up quickly. Thankfully, I was able to get this reimbursed. And that's, you know, that's a spinoff of the original question. If they do charge you for parking, you need to ask your agency, ask your recruiter, hey, is this something that you guys would reimburse for? Because like I always tell you, don't be the one to tell yourself no. The answer will always be no if you don't ask. So ask them, and more than likely they will be happy to reimburse you for the parking cost. But I do think it is insane that, hey, I'm coming to work to save lives and you're charging me $8 a day for parking. And I'm not saying that this is a factor that's going to deter you from working there, but it might be. You might say, hey, I draw the line. You can triple me. You can give me 4 ICU patients, but charging me for parking per day, that's where I draw the line. Question number 4, what is the float policy? This is another thing where, as I've travel nurse, it's nice to see how other people do things. I think by far, outside of meeting the people and getting to live in new cities for 2 to 3 months at a time, this is another thing. It's just really nice to see how people do things and how things work well and how some things don't work well at all. When I was in the Bay Area on my second contract, that hospital had various ICUs. I want to say they had 6 different ICUs, and you could only float within the ICUs. They said that they would never float you to anywhere else. You wouldn't float to med-surg. You wouldn't float to step down. You wouldn't float anywhere else, only within your scope of practice, and they meant that. You would only stay in ICU. However, other places that I've worked travel contracts, they say they will float you within your scope of practice and below. So if you work in ICU, they can float you anywhere else. When I was in Colorado, I've told friends that I was floated 3 times in the same night, once to be a patient care technician, once to a rehab floor, and then again, I was finally taking my own patient assignment. And they thought it was so wild because I told them, yeah, I was getting blood pressures when I was a patient care tech, but I'm a nurse. So they said, oh, it's within your scope of practice. Hey, can you pass meds for these nurses on the floor? And honestly, I think it's crazy to be floated 3 times in one night. There's no continuity of care, but it happens. I've talked to other friends who have traveled and they've said, yeah, that's happened to me as well. For the most part, I feel like it's pretty standard that hospitals will float you. If you work in the ICU, they will float you to another ICU, but more often than not, they're going to float you to step down or to a tele floor. And it's important to know this because a lot of people will start travel nursing and think that they're going to be on their floor the whole time, but they're paying you this elevated rate because you're supposed to be down for whatever, in theory. They expect you to just be going with the tide. Whatever they say goes because they're paying you a premium. And you're not really there to argue, well, I'm not going to float. I'm not going to do this. When I worked that crisis assignment in the Bay, I think 15 out of the 20 shifts that I was there, I floated to step down or to tele. And I thought to myself, well, the money is so good. I'm only here for a very tiny amount of time, so I'm not going to say anything. And not every place is going to be fair. My second Bay Area contract, they had a log. They rotated through it. They said, well, it's your turn to float. I think total when I was there, I floated 3 times, but it was fair. I floated like once a month. Honestly, I'm not going to be the one who's going to argue it down and say, oh, I'm not going to float. I'm not here to float. If they fulfill their needs for the ICU and they're paying you XYZ amount of dollars, you accepted the money knowing that there was a possibility that they were going to float you. And if you want to stay somewhere permanently and not float, then you should probably sign on as a staff nurse. Because I've been in the situation where it was a staff nurse's turn to float and they complained to the charge nurse, so they floated a traveler. When I was in Colorado, I remember it was somebody's turn to float. I had a patient. It was about midnight. They complained that they were going to have to float somewhere else because somebody got sick on another floor. Charge nurse comes to me and says, I got to keep my staff nurses happy, so I'm going to float you. And I was just looking at him in disbelief and was like, I've already gotten to know this patient. It's midnight. We have about 6.5 hours left in our shift. And although I wanted to make a very big case, like, you know, this is stupid. I don't care that you have to keep staff nurses happy. I just thought to myself, well, it's fine. I only have to be here temporarily. The final question, question number 5, how many hours per week will I be working in this contract? The standard for travel nursing is 36 hours. However, with this pandemic, I've seen contracts for 48 hours, 60 hours, and I've even seen some going up to 72 hours. I personally have never worked a 72-hour contract. The most I've ever worked is 60 hours, and that within itself is very, very hard on the body. Originally, I was only seeing these 60-hour contracts for 4 to 8 weeks. However, when I was in the Bay, I did see somebody working a 60-hour contract for 13 weeks, and they did renew. I personally don't have gambling debt, so I could not subject myself to something like that for 3 to 6 months. I just couldn't do it. I felt like absolute garbage for the 1 month that I did it. I didn't have time to meal prep. I didn't have time to go to the gym. I was working night shift. My sleep schedule was horrible. I was living out of a hotel in Cupertino. So as you know, with hotels, people are coming around, housekeeping, they're vacuuming. It's very loud. I didn't have blackout curtains. Couldn't customize that in the hotel. They're cutting the grass during the day. So all around, it was just a poor environment. It was not conducive to sleep. If you are a new traveler, I would definitely recommend starting out with 36 hours and then seeing how you like it. It's hard to say what the needs of each hospital are. At the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of people were burnt out. They were leaving the profession. People are still doing that. However, a lot of people have taken the plunge into travel nursing. So hospitals have cut funding. They don't have the, you know, big, big cash dollars that they had at the beginning of the pandemic. And now they're really restrictive on overtime. I asked in one of my recent interviews, what is your overtime policy? If I wanted to work more, could I pick up? They said, we have to get it approved by the CNO. I just thought that was crazy because this time last year, when I was working that first contract, it was 36 hours, but I went ahead and signed up for an additional shift for the remainder of my contract. And they had no issue with it. They were like, yeah, we always have openings. We always have people calling out. Every single day I was getting text messages, please feel free to pick up if you're available. You know, can you come in? Can you just work a partial shift? But now they're really trying to pinch pennies. That's all I have for you guys today. Definitely reach out if you guys have any questions on this topic or if there's something you'd like me to cover in an upcoming episode. As always, you guys can find me on Instagram at A Girl Named Ken. You can find me on my blog at www.agirlnamedken.com. You can find me on YouTube at Nkenna Rose, N-K-E-N-N-A, Rose like the flower. And you can find me on TikTok at A Girl Named Ken. As always, thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.